I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from Dubai in the UAE. A multipolar transformation of the world was confirmed at the 1st of March G20 foreign ministers meeting in India. In effect, NATO members and their alleged puppets vetoed a joint communique that might have indicated unity in the face of threats like climate change and pandemics. The summit in New Delhi followed refusals by India, China and those representing the majority of humanity to vote for a UN resolution demanding Russia be defeated in the US's proxy war through Ukraine. Joining me now is a politician from Prime Minister Modi's ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, in India. Unlike Modi, he supports the NATO line on Ukraine. Dr. Subramanian Swamy, former cabinet minister and six-term Rajya Sabha MP, is in New Delhi. Thank you so much, Subramanian, for coming back on. I mean, last time you were on the show, there you were, slamming UK colonialism. And now you seem to be completely supporting your old colonial master Britain and the European colonial masters on the Ukraine proxy war. Well, what do you got against this rise of the global south finally winning the day?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Britain is following the American line, and I'm not following Britain. I'm more or less in tandem with the Americans. But the fundamental question is that Ukraine is a independent United Nations member, and there has been a crossing of soldiers, army, and so on by a country which is considered as one of the permanent members of the Supreme of the Security Council.
It is.
So, and it is as of now. And therefore, I think we must speak up. I mean, you can't allow a country to be totally defenseless in these circumstances.
So you don't buy into the whole, you don't see at all what other countries in the global south do, which was this was NATO encroachment in the east and that there was a coup. We have the phone call evidence of Victoria Nuland now in the Biden State Department. You don't believe there was a coup that led to this situation. You don't believe that they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline supplying energy to Europe, that this was planned?
I say, first of all, the unraveling of the Soviet Union was by mutual consent. Mr. Gorbachev participated in it, and it was all agreed. So, and Ukraine became a member of the United Nations. And now, if the UN if Ukraine had done any of those crimes that are being mentioned, and I'm not saying that I know for sure either way, but the fact is that that could have been taken up in the United Nations.
Well, it was. It was a resolution of the Minsk Accords that became UN Security Council Resolution 2202. I mean, there you're being quite equivocal. So you are supporting Modi's line, which is neither side in a way.
Modi's line is more pro-Russian and Chinese than the United States stand, which is that Russia should withdraw its troops from Ukraine, and then we can talk. All the complaints that are there can be taken up at that stage, but not when you send troops across it and across the international boundary.
So you don't think that since the US-led coup in 2014, the continued attacks on Donbass, you think Russia should just have allowed them to erase those who spoke Russian in Donbass? Because we know from Merkel that the Minsk Accords were a way of them arming to fight Donbass.
You see, the issue is not that. The issue is the use of the army to cross international boundaries. And it's not the issue of what wrong the Ukrainians did. I'm not sure that at one stage there was a person who was their president he was doing all kinds of awful things. But the fact of the matter is, there are some ground rules of the United Nations. And you don't cross the international boundary. Russia, I don't think that Russia made a big issue, international issue, because we in India hardly knew that Russians had a problem of the kind that you just mentioned in Ukraine.
Well, then why do you think it is that the majority of humanity, as represented at the United Nations, don't vote the US's way In numbers, numerical terms, of course, they do follow. And, of course, people in the global south call them vassal states that follow Washington. But those that represent the majority of humanity, India, China, yes. You know, the big countries, 32 abstentions, they don't go along with the view that Russia should just immediately withdraw and this has to happen before any negotiations happen.
Well, the Prime Minister of India has come a little distance by saying the war should, this is not time for war, you should end the war. Even that, the Russians are not agreeing. I wouldn't say India is not on the opposite side. India, in fact, has thanked Ukraine for the fact that they assisted us to evacuate all our students. They've cooperated us. We have an embassy here, and they are fully active here. But the fact is that Indian position is not, I mean, Indians trying to be equivocate in this, and I say you lose both ways. In this, you got to take a stand. Either you're with the Russians or you're with the Americans.
And your stand is clearly with the Americans. Does that mean that, in a sense, you're supporting the old order? Because it's been said many times, as you know, at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meetings, at BRICS meetings, all across Latin America, Africa, Southeast Asia, that a new world is coming, that the days of Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, those interventions are over. And I don't know whether you similarly condemned, of course, the Americans and the British for invading Afghanistan, Libya, Iraq and Syria.
Before I come to Afghanistan, let me tell you that till the Chinese walked across the mutually agreed line of actual control and took over our land in Ladakh, I was supposed to considered as one of the best friends of China in India. I, of course, have specialized in China. I speak Chinese. I've written books on the Chinese economy, and I like them very much. But what they did left us all speechless. They just crossed and took over the...
They didn't just cross. The Indians took in the Dalai Lama, I think, wasn't it? I think
back
in the 60s are you talking
back.
About?
You're going back too far.
You're talking about the 2000s.
2020. I'm talking about 2020, when it was all agreed that there will be... In 1995, we agreed to a line of actual control, which neither side said is legally, you know, solves the problem of the border. But they said that we will not have go to war for this and we'll talk. So till then, the status quo as it existed then, will draw a line of actual control. The Chinese violated that and crossed it in 2020.
You know, Antony Blinken's going to love that you said that, clearly. He's going to want you to be prime minister. So you think China should have just gone along with the fact that there are how many bases, U.S. bases, surrounding China? And you think China was fine with the 2008 India-U.S. nuclear cooperation deal, the 2016 logistics exchange memorandum of agreement, India-U.S. logistics deal, 2017 U.S. quadrilateral security dialogue, India-U.S., Japan and Australia, 2018 COMCASA U.S. dialogue, military equipment, military agreement. I mean, all these agreements, the 2020 Beka agreement. If I was China, I'd be saying India is the enemy here, is basically become the vassal state that Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea has.
No, that they can say. In fact, a lot of people are saying that Russia has become a junior partner of China. And on the face of it, you know, there's some, it looks like that, but, you know, I am not. I told you that I have never been hostile to China, except when they found that they have crossed the line. And at that time, I played a major role in the drawing off with Mr. Narasimha Rao as prime minister in having a line of actual control. And
some might say China's too lenient on India, and after those deals should have said the original agreement that was signed in the 90s should be ripped 95. Up. India has become part of the problem.
Well, you know, see, as far as China's problem with Taiwan, we are not supporting Taiwan as an independent country. We are not supporting Tibet as an independent part of Indian country, independent country. We are sticking to the 1950s thing. We didn't enter into the Hong Kong question.
It's Washington policy too, technically.
Technically,
that's Washington policy.
No.
Not in reality.
They have a huge presence in Taiwan. And they have a huge presence in Hong Kong too. I mean, in the commercial sense. But
isn't that the problem? Washington recognizes Taiwan as part of China, just as India does, but in effect is...
I do not go beyond, you know, there's a limit to which I support the United States. It's a democratic country. I am very familiar with them. And it's easy to talk to them. And in private, they are more frank and they're straightforward. I've had great difficulty with the Russians when the new ambassador came here, Kadakin. He was very nice to me, but in the end, he told me that we still bear a lot of grudges against you. The Soviets, by the way, Soviet Union was against me from the day I came back from America. And every one of their publications made out there was an agent of America. And then later on, they began saying it was an agent of China. So these are cheap things that are said to politicians. But the fact is that if I come back to the question, you have crossed the international line. Now, before that is rectified, nothing else is to be discussed. This is how I would approach the problem.
You said the same as Germany recognized Croatia and the start of the Yugoslav War.
I didn't take any interest in that.
Well, that was the same thing, wasn't it? I've got to just say, you just said there's a limit. You said there's a limit. What if the United... I know that Russian oil imports to India have hit a record high for February from the figures only this week.
Yes.
If Biden blew up all the pipelines and all the transportation links of gas energy to India, would that be the limit, like he's allegedly done with the Nord Stream supplying Germany's energy?
If they do that, we'll get oil from Iran. I don't think we have good relations with Iran, despite the Americans not being very happy with it. I think you're putting this in a black and white scenario that either you have become a vassal state or you are opposed to the United States. There's no middle ground in what you're suggesting. I am not here. I'd love to be on good relations with Russians. I admire their mathematicians. I learned a lot of economics because you had brilliant mathematicians. But then, you know, now it's not that anymore. The world is seeing Russia as a junior partner of China.
Well, I mean, China and Russia don't say that that's the case. Obviously, China needing Russian energy resources. Dr. Subramanian Swamy, I'll stop you there. More from the veteran BJP politician after this break.
So what we've got to do is identify the threats that we have.
It's crazy.
Confrontation, let it be an arms race.
Who is on offense? Very dramatic development.
I personally am going to resist.
I don't see how that strategy will be successful.
Very critical time.
Time to sit down and talk.
Жизнь изменилась кардинально.
If you speak Russian, keep your voice down while out and about.
Ну, иногда приходилось врать просто в силу страха какого-то.
Don't put your homeland symbols on display.
Все, что русскоязычное, то отторгается и подвергается нападкам.
Don't talk to strangers.
Обиди сюда! Что вы подошли, москали?
Avoid noisy gatherings and rallies.
Меня, по сути, назвали фашистом. И, в принципе, меня называют по сей день так называемым термином «рашист».
Even your colleagues and perhaps also your friends think you're guilty because you're Russian.
Они начинают говорить о том, что мы вас найдем, мы вас знаем всех в лицо, ходите, оглядывайтесь.
Ответственность коллективная, даже вот детям достается. Были избиения детей, когда действительно ребенок попал в больницу, и об этом сообщили полиции, то есть это все вышло на официальный уровень.
Welcome back. I'm still here with Dr. Subramanian Swamy, sixth-term Rajya Sabha MP in India's ruling BJP. You tweeted to your 10 million followers that India basically yes. should follow the Maldives, Bhutan, the so-called new Communist Party-run Nepal. This is the kind of resolution that should be supported, Russia's immediate withdrawal. Why should India be part of a team like the Maldives and Bhutan and Nepal instead of Russia, China, South Africa, Vietnam, Bangladesh, Cuba, Pakistan, all these other countries representing so much of the world?
The cultural affinity of Nepal, Bhutan, with Sri Lanka, that's...
You don't think that Bhutan and the Maldives voted that way against Russia because they thought that, do you? You don't think Washington told them?
They went against India, and that was something which never happened before.
Well, you've been tweeting about Sri Lanka. You mentioned Sri Lanka there. India, I mean, I don't know how much leverage the IMF and World Bank have. We've got John Perkins, the economic Confessions of an Economic Hitman, on the show soon. And he talks about how the World Bank and IMF treat developing world countries. And now you've been celebrating Sri Lanka again, getting into debt into the Washington institutions. What have you got against the BRICS Bank?
The BRICS Bank, by the way, I was offered the presidentship position by the Prime Minister of India. But I took the stand that I left Harvard to come to India, and I want to stay in India. I'm not getting out. If they move the BRICS Bank to New Delhi, I would be happy to head it. But what I'm saying is there's no bias, hostility, hatred for any of the countries which I'm opposing. And they, as I told you, I was extremely on a very good relationship with China. I've met Deng Xiaoping, which he went out of his way because I didn't hold any government position at that time except as a member of parliament. And therefore, I felt very bad that the Chinese did what the other Chinese premiers and presidents didn't do. This has created a thing on which I have to take Indian stand, of course, Indian national interest stand, and I've taken it on a harsh way on China. I hope China also vacates all these areas, and we can go back to being good friends. And then
how is it going to vacate these areas which they say are theirs now if politicians like yourself continue to appear to be vassal politicians of the security state of the United States? Again and again, you don't seem to recognize what Lavrov, the Chinese foreign minister has been saying this week. They see it as existential threats by NATO, the military bases with the massive American spending for bases all around the global south.
From 1972 to about 2005, I would say China was much more of a vassal United States state than we have ever been. The fact is that we are not a vassal state. It's not going to provoke me to feel bad about it because you are known as a, you are very much liked in India as a anchor man, And I know you also can be traced. Well, I think you can be traced to your Indianness also can be traced to us. So that that gives us. So what I'm saying is, please don't get into this question of extremes. I am not for a vassal state. I am not for an enemy. Who is with India, who sides with India, I would be happy to with them. If the Chinese had not come and taken our territory in 2020, our stand would have been quite different and justifiably so. But today, I cannot sell the idea that Russia can continue to kill people in Ukraine and that we should keep quiet. And I can tell you, whatever the government may say, the vast majority of Indians want us to side with Ukraine.
Arguably, the vast majority of Indians may be going on strike. Didn't you have the largest strike in history, the farmers?
No,
maybe the farmers are about to go out again. You mentioned, actually, Indian diaspora, as you say. I am of Indian ancestry. It's also common that, reasonably common, that people of Indian ancestry then embrace the colonial masters. And I don't know what you think of Rishi Sunak's policy. So you agree with Rishi Sunak, clearly, that we must support NATO, we must support Washington at all costs. What do you think of the fact uranium imports from Russia into the USA are exploding? The EU is continuing to import masses of Russian energy. Who's paying? I mean, obviously India's paying for the bullets from Russia because the massive record oil buying by India. But the United States and the EU is paying for the Russian war as well. Doesn't this show the complete contradiction in all of this?
Well, I mean, buying for oil from Russia, if you today, India had an alternative, we would stop buying from Russia.
So you'd want India to stop buying energy from Russia? And
I would say that if you do not listen to India, even on a simple thing like having a ceasefire or a withdrawal from a small country called Ukraine, then you really don't care for India, you see. And therefore, I'd be happy to reevaluate our positions. We are with the United States not because the United States is a vassal state. We refused to help them on Afghanistan. They wanted us to bring troops. They said they will give us this and not that, free of charge. We said no. We will not participate with troops in Afghanistan. The United States continues to give weapons to Pakistan, but still there are circumstances which have been created by which we need to be in better relations with the United States. Third thing is the average Indian finds it much more valuable to go to the United States to study than any other part of the world. And so we have to maintain some good relations with the United States so that our people can go and learn advanced sciences in the United States. So, I mean, there are so many factors. You see, you're putting it in black and white. That's your right. But I'm saying the issue is not black and white. We can tomorrow become adversary to the United States. But I don't see any way the Americans have harmed our national interests in any way. We do think that the Chinese have, and the Chinese seem to control the Russians, because the Russians' language and its behavior recently in our bilateral meetings about what China has done to India is very, very negative as far as we are concerned.
No, not at all, according to what Prime Minister Modi is saying. I don't know whether you're going to join the Congress party. You sound like Rahul Gandhi on all this stuff.
Don't side with my enemies who are constantly trying to send me into the Congress party. I am in the process of sending Sonia Gandhi to jail on a corruption charge along with her son.
Yeah, she denies it, of course. But you're on the same side when you want to be feted in Washington, arguably. There's a China peace deal. And I recognize what you said about India not sending troops to Afghanistan and not joining in the destruction of Libya, of Syria, of Iraq. Tens of millions. I don't know how vocal you were against US foreign policy. India certainly was. But isn't that the point? There's an arc of history here. And what Narendra Modi is doing today, joining with China, President Lula of Brazil, who's been on this program, has been making different sounds. It's difficult for any leader to oppose US foreign policy. This is the arc of history, isn't it? That these students who want to study in America that you talk about, they're learning from a dying empire.
None of these are the decisive factors. The decisive factor, if you want to know, is the Chinese crossing the LAC and coming and occupying our territory.
We went through this. I went through all these deals. Nuclear cooperation in 2008, a deal signed between India and the United States. What do you think China's going to do? Allow India to launch nuclear weapons at Beijing? You're talking about the line of actual control.
That doesn't mean they have to occupy our territory. They can have more nuclear weapons and put them facing India. I don't mind that.
I think the Indian
I can't believe that just because we had a peace. In fact, by the way, a lot of people in India opposed that agreement, saying that you will harm our nuclear weapons program by this, because the conditions that the Americans had put would in effect destroy our progress in moving towards a nuclear arsenal, you see. Because we have thorium, and that thorium, if we are able to convert it into fissile nuclear for the nuclear weapons, I think we have 60% of the world's thorium, and it would have been a totally different situation. All that we gave up for the sake of nuclear, for electricity. So I will not say that the Chinese should have been, they should have been happy that the Americans have now put handcuffs on our nuclear program.
Yeah, and so India has been continually, since 2008, through the 2000s, moving in a way that is going to alarm anyone opposed to Washington foreign policy, whether it be in the Middle East, in North Africa, all over. I mean, I just want to know, back to Ukraine. I mean, and we've got to remember, BRICS used to be RICS, Russia, India, China, before it became BRICS. Do Indians don't even know about the Victoria Nuland phone call? Have they not gone onto YouTube and heard Victoria Nuland choose who is going to lead Ukraine after the US-backed coup, which was the start of this current proxy war?
Well, only you would take her seriously. I would not.
So, and do Indians take seriously the idea that Joe Biden, Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Victoria Nuland, and the CIA bombed the Nord Stream pipeline?
That's two different things. And Victoria being...
Well, it is kind of important, isn't it, that given that's the biggest terror atrocity?
It's important. It's something that we will put it into our computer for future analysis. But it's not something that we'll get carried away by. If somebody says that we will decide who will be what and so on.
Well, I'm pretty sure China would do more than that if India's pipelines and India's energy resources.
I don't see why China just can't pull back and to what we had agreed in 1995 and change the whole climate.
Yeah, we've been through that in the previous interview, where what you're doing is in effect divide and rule by Washington. If you continually, isn't that what Modi has recognized? That imperial powers, imperial Washington, realizes they can split the joint powers of India and China, and you are falling into that trap. Maybe it's your American education.
I value that education. I was taught then by Nobel laureates, and I became a very famous man in economics thanks to them. But the fact is that we had extremely good relations with China from 1950 to 1962. We gave up our claim. I mean, we were offered the National Security Council veto-holding seat after China became communist. The Americans said we can't give it to them. We turned it down and campaigned every year that it should be given to China. We signed a treaty against everybody's wishes on Tibet. Instead of saying Tibet would be autonomous, we said, no, Tibet is part of China. And Mr. Vajpayee in 2003 said even Tibet could be truncated, and it could be, And the Chinese have done that. They've broken parts of it in Gansu province or something in Sichuan. Like that, now Tibet is a much smaller place. So all these we were going along with. But the coming and breaking the mutually agreed treatment, a treaty, and then cross across and take these areas, and where as Indian soldiers have been killed, I think that was a betrayal that we can't swallow.
Well, China says that they are abiding by it, and of course things have calmed down since those terrible events from a couple of years ago. Dr. Subramanian Swamy, thank you. That's it for the show. We'll be back next Saturday. 9 years to the day, Crimea voted to be part of Russia following a US-backed coup in Kiev. Until then, you can keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country. But you can always head to our channel, Going Underground TV, on rumble.com to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you very soon.